You ready? All right. Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Colorado Voter Access and Modernized Election Commission. The date is September 30th, 2013. The time is 1:10 p.m., and we are meeting in the Aspen Room at the Secretary of State's office, 1700 Broadway on the third floor. Two of our commission members are not present today. I believe Richard Westfall was going to join later, and Martha Tierney, unless you're on the phone. I don't believe she's here today. It looks like we have one new member, so maybe if you'd like to introduce yourself and.
Representative Max Tyler, and I was appointed through the process of the Joint Technology Committee this morning after getting a resignation from Senator Angela Hederon. So I will be the replacement as the Democratic representative from the legislature.
All right, thank you and welcome. The first item on our agenda is public comment, and I know we have some written public comments. Is there anybody here that's present that wishes to make public comment? Okay, then we'll take the public comments that we've received, the written ones, and those will be posted on the website, Steve. Is that right?
They have already been posted.
They have been posted. Okay, thank you. The second item on the agenda is a business practices subgroup scope and goals, and I believe that's mainly been Clerk Hall.
Thanks. Mostly we reviewed and are getting ready for the October 7th meeting. For the field trip to the Denver office, and we'll be reviewing we'll have a voter service and polling center set up for you all to see some of that in action, and then in addition to that, we'll have run through how mail ballots are processed, and then as part of that presentation, we'll be talking about the differences, because the system we'll see there will be the Sequoia system, so we'll talk about what's the same for counties and what's different to give you all more context on where some of those choice points are and how they impact what our discussions are here. And in addition, we finished reviewing the training manuals, and those are posted to the clerk site for comment. And as I say that out loud, and we will work on getting them a copy for you all to see and post those here. Let me just make myself a note on that as we are talking. The other part that I would like for this time period is, are there other clerk-specific parts of the process that either the business practice group can help you answer since last we spoke, or are there things specific about our October 7th field trip that you want to make sure that we cover? We must, sorry. We're on track. All right.
I have a question about the differences in the timelines. I'm asking this question because we've had some comments on the residency rule that we had enacted, and then it was the court overturned it, and we never did put anything else into place. And so I guess my question is about these differences in the residency periods for, let's say, school districts, special districts, municipalities. Do you know how the counties are intending, or are they all doing the same thing, or are they doing different things? How are they going to deal with that residency issue?
So the counties have all dealt with that in their IGAs, and those processes would be spelled out in their IGAs with them. And I think there are different ways that counties are handling it.
Okay. So it's not uniform as far as you know, or has the Clerks Association done a survey or anything?
We have not done a survey on it, and okay. It has been it's been left with their IGAs.
Okay, so the county.
Because that's the people who have to make those decisions are between the special district and the county.
Okay, so the county IGAs would be the place that those residency requirements would be spelled out.
Most people will be operating under Title I, is my understanding. With that.
All right, so. That's all I have.
Sorry, we can't hear down here. It sounds low or something. Could you kind of repeat the bottom line of that issue? I didn't really hear what you said.
So there are, I'm trying to think how to say this. With the residencies and special district requirements and the school board requirements, there are some differences in statute, and those issues have been addressed in the IGAs with those individual entities, IGA intergovernmental agreement. that every county does with special districts, municipalities, and school districts to coordinate the election, and that's where those details have been laid out of how that will be handled for this upcoming election. And just as a point of context, we have been, the school board requirements have not matched the county's, well, at least for 7 years since I've been clerk, and we've always operated under Title I, and that's been the agreement with that. So.
How do you anticipate they'll do it? I mean, somebody shows up, residency requirement is essentially zero or that day for the state election and 30 days for the school. How do you do that?
I think it will be what you've established with that entity in your IGA is how they're planning on handling it, because statute has different opinions. And if you look at it in the whole, Title I says one thing and others say the other, and that that will be how the, and then they've signed an agreement saying, knowing that most counties will be operating under Title I for that.
Meaning that they go back to the, like, if a person's going to vote in that school board election, they'll have to have that residency requirement for the school?
No, meaning they'll be meeting what's required in Title
I. Whole ballot? I mean, so.
They'll be getting the whole ballot. It'll be what's required in Title I. That's how we've always worked with school districts on that
issue.
These are just additional.
So it's more stringent of the two residency requirements?
I would say that it's so, and again, I can't speak for all the counties. I know in our county, we actually told the entities to let us know if they had a different residency requirement, and most of ours have let us know they will be operating under Title I with the same day voter registration.
So what exactly does Title I do that mitigates this? What are the provisions of Title I?
They're operating under the registration requirements from Title I, which is the same-day voter registration. The 22 days in Colorado is what they'll be operating under.
So 1303 legislation overrides, takes precedence over the 30-day school board, for example.
So the school board conflict was there before 1303. The 29 and 22 day was already there. There's already a conflict there. And the way those have been resolved historically is people have operated under Title I for that one. In addition, many of the entities have adopted in their charter that when there's a conflict, Title I is the one that they operate with. So that's how they'll be handling it, the home rule ones. Again, I can't speak for every one of the counties. Again, that's where they go with their IGA and what the agreements they're making with those districts.
I'd have to go back, Cindy, agree. I'd have to go back and look at Title I. I think a lot of the provisions of the charters allow for how to handle a discrepancy by relying on Title I. There's nothing in Title I that says you have a choice of which one you want to operate under.
I believe that's correct. There's nothing that says there's a choice. I believe many of it with their charters, the combination of their charter and the IGA and Title I. That's how they'll be operated.
So absent specifying it in your charter, if it's in your constitution or your voter residency requirements are specified in other areas of law, then absent anything to the contrary, those previous areas of law would be the operative there. So there's got to be a charter or something that gives them discretion.
That's why most of this is handled in the IGA. Again, I am definitely not an attorney, and I know what we'll be doing with our county, and the other counties have looked to their IGAs to write what that agreement will be and how they'll be handling those districts.
So our thought with the residency is that we're going to specifically state that Title I, I mean, certainly we have an expectation that the Title I is going to be followed in a uniform manner for a statewide election. When it comes to local elections that are purely local, we don't have a state interest. My concern is that I know there are other charters out there that say residency is in accordance with Title 31, which is 30 days. And I'm aware that there are entities coordinating for some of those other municipalities, and I don't know what those entities are operating under, but I just need to make clear in our rulemaking that we are not seeking to supersede Title 31, Title 32, the 22-day school board, any of those other requirements that are in residency that exist out there in charters that I wouldn't know about except anecdotally, we are not in a position where the law supersedes those requirements of those localities. And so in coming to an agreement in an IGA, I'm not sure you can contract around your residency requirement that's in the charter. But again, that's not really my issue, except that I want to ensure that these cities and districts understand that by contracting, they're not contracting with the consent, I guess, of the state, that the state believes 1303 overrode those provisions. So that's why I asked the question about, and it may be that different counties are, I know some counties are planning to run those elections outside of SCORE, which means that you'll get your state ballot and then you'll get a different ballot for your local election because of those conflicts. I'm just not sure if all the counties have accounted for those or not. So that's probably what you'll see in a residency rule of some type come out after the rulemaking tomorrow. I didn't have any other questions.
This is Elena. In terms of other issues for the group and in terms of timing, these might be things that make more sense after the coordinated, but going back to the issue tracking, it seems like there were county level implementation issues around security, connectivity, and NCOA. So having a report back from the group, maybe in light of the coordinated and how those worked, I think would be helpful at some point in the future. Connectivity.
I'm never sure where to put this. One of the things that we had our Clerks Association board meeting this past week, and I have asked the chairs of the regions to look at sometime in December coming to the commission and talking to them about their region's experience with the election. So that directly related to business practices, but to the group as a whole, I would think that would
That'd
be
great.
An interesting report back, and I'll make sure we talk about these issues on those. That's a future agenda item, so I was hoping we would schedule that date. Thanks.
All right, anything else on this item? The next item was the recall statute, and Richard Westfall had sent an email saying he'd be late and asked if we could do this issue last. So if anybody, if there's no objection, we'll just move it down. Which then takes us to the EAC survey. Well, I think I'll throw it to Representative Rankin because I'm meeting.
Well, if you recall, on this issue, it was an issue of getting a survey out to the clerks early enough that they could start to collect data in advance and through the 2013 election so that we could live up to our responsibility of reporting how that goes. And Mr. Branscombe had volunteered to take a survey from the Election Assistance Commission, which was due to be used in the 2014 election, but there's advanced copies out, and adapt that for our use, and he has done so. I only saw this yesterday, so I can't comment in great detail on it, but I think you have it in front of you. We might take a look through it and see. I mean, certainly there are some issues here, and how much of this data might be actually collected through SCORE, you know, how much workload we want to put on the clerks. And in my mind, is there's an issue of what we're going to do with it when we get it. So we might talk about those subjects. But I'm still personally still very supportive of getting something out early to capture all the information we can through the November election.
And this is Elena. I agree. I like the idea of using the EAC survey, but having just seen it this morning, haven't had a chance to look at the questions or the ones that Harvey Branscombe added. So maybe we could talk about it a little bit, but maybe delay it for action until next week.
I would second that as just same this morning, not even very long. To see what's different, and then and to have that discussion of what are we going to do with it, and do we need all the information? I know it looks For those of us who don't have to assemble the answers, it looks like just a few simple questions between, and it is how much can be automated, which will help with some of that. What can we generate? And then really most importantly, are we going to use it? And that's, I know the clerks are happy to put it together information that will be used.
You know, go back. I mean, one of my questions is what can we extract from the score system? A lot of this is statistics about how people register and how many people in each voting area. So perhaps a lot of this is just, we might ask Secretary of State's folks to, I know we're overloading them once again, but just quickly tell us, you know, how much of this is could be captured from the system itself.
I mean, almost all of it, we fill these out every 2 years, and so it's probably not a lot different than the load sharing for the last few years. No. I think that we pull a lot of this general information out of SCORE, but then some of it gets pretty county specific. You know, for instance, how many ballots did you hand deliver in your jurisdiction and that sort of thing. That's not typically going to be some kind of field we can pull right out of SCORE. So Clerk Hall may know in general how much time it takes to fill out an EAC survey after an election.
It doesn't take me very long because I have really capable staff.
Right.
I'm sorry. I can check. But yeah. And it's I don't know which parts. I think I'd be curious what's new on here, what's already existing. I know that with the Secretary of State's office, they've been great about really giving us just, I don't even know if we've seen the full survey in quite some time because they do such a great job at just giving us, here's the portion we really need from you. And so that would be, looking at this, I can't even tell you what part that is. Right. I think it's different questions.
Yeah. So maybe for the next time, we can all take a look at this and then I'll ask staff to let me know what percentage we pull from SCORE and what the time commitment will be, and then estimate the time commitment on the county side based on what they've had from feedback.
And Fran and I, maybe we'll take a look and see what looks like questions we've usually answered and what might be some of the new ones and how long will some of that take, you think?
Yes, page 20, I can see already. Where it's asking about how many ballot missing from the envelope. That's kind of hard to track sometimes when you're in the process. So we might go over this and then
So we get two inputs coming back, one from Secretary of State on what's captured and score, and the clerks are going to look at the other questions for us and tell us, maybe modify the questions, add some, whatever. Good. And what about timing? When do we need to, based on some of these questions, you know, maybe we need to be thinking about early. I mean, when do we actually get this questionnaire in the hands of the clerks and let them know that we're going to want the data back?
2 weeks ago.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah. So we're right on schedule for everyone's time. I'm sure everyone's feeling that.
I mean, it certainly has to be before ballots start coming back. Yeah. If you look at some of the questions.
Ballots go out the 15th, start going out the 15th. So really,
so we need to get it done.
If we could finalize this, I know that Denver's also making space for us to, in addition to do the tour and the walkthrough, to actually have a meeting as well.
We're going to meet next week. We talked about every other week, so it sounds like we need.
Wasn't the 7th?
There's a tour.
Am I off? Oh yeah, next week is the 7th. Yeah, we talked about doing the tour. So, yeah, I would say if we don't find any other urgent issue, if we just have one agenda item, we really do need this finalized by the 7th so that three clerks can start planning on how they'll capture information if it's not something we already capture. So
good.
That'd be great.
Okay. Can I ask Max Tyler, if as you go through this, you might want to put some ranking on this in terms of this is easy, this is hard but valuable, this is hard but doesn't tell us anything, or, you know, that sort of a thing.
Those are our favorite questions.
Yeah. I would guess there might be one in there like that.
Yeah.
You know, but if you provide a difficulty and a value sense, and not go through everything that way necessarily, but the ones that you have issues with, it'd be worth knowing that.
Great.
Yeah, because some of these would have to be done by the election judges. I mean, not even just the staff. So.
Yeah, some of them, and I got to check. Some of them Yeah, some of them might be reasons for rejected, but then there's other things mixed in that we don't usually measure, so
okay,
figure that out.
All right, so Steve will put that on the agenda next time.
And can I ask a logistic question on that, just for prep? Do we need, is that one where you can just, people come and we record it and we can play it again, or how, okay. Just wanted to know if Denver needed to do anything, so I would make sure if they other than have the room, and they know public's coming as well, so.
We'll just record the meetings part. Just bring in digital. Is that all right? Yeah.
Thanks. And the business practice group is meeting this Thursday. Probably be our last before the election.
And the next item is a training discussion. I'm not sure I remember the context of that one. Representative Rankin, was that you again?
No? I think that was me again. This is Elena. We had been talking, I think, as one of the business practice subgroup updates, maybe about the voter service and polling center model, about what the training was looking like, and that the group had been working on trainings. So it may be just Hillary sharing with what the group has come up with, that there is a training and it's being modified by different size counties and things like that.
Maybe you can fill in. I'm not sure if states doing any portion this year that goes with the rule or not, but our portion, that what the business practice group was working on, was creating the manual that I referred to earlier, that is a uniformed manual with a few places where, you know, depending on how large you are, how your setup might be different. The thought, the thought was that we would you go with that manual as we showed the service center next time, so people could get that context. And I made a note to myself to send that all to you when I get back to my office, so that you can have that ahead of time if you want to take a look. And it's pretty, I mean, it's a visual manual, so it's there to be a higher level version of that. And that will really address, there's registration pieces in it. There's, you know, there's different sections of it to help show how that's going to work in a service center. The training at this point will be similar to the training we've done for early voting and services before, where counties do their own training for time. So. And I just didn't know, because in rule it talks about the requirement for training, and is that in place for next year or this year, kind of related to that topic, around people who will be doing voter registration.
Yeah, the rule for voter registration is that it needs to be, the person actually doing the same day voter registration has to be a county employee. Mm-hmm. And that can be a temporary employee, mm-hmm. and counties bring many temporaries in. But it would have to be not an election judge who comes in appointed by the party, but rather a staff member. And as far as training of election judges, I think that the date is still set at 45, although in rule, I think we were going to push that back so that the counties could start training earlier than that. Maybe not so much in this election, but looking forward to the next mm-hmm. one. Other than that, I don't think we had any other new training requirements.
So I thought there was and I haven't, I have looked at the new version. I'm still sorting out what's new and what's the same. Is there was a requirement of that people who were doing that had training from the Secretary of State's office, and I couldn't tell if that was going to be for this year or if that was to be put in place for next year in the rule.
Oh, I think it was for next year.
Okay. But I'll make a note of that, just because I'm not sure that's...
And it may be because this year we knew that was going to be done by employees.
Yeah.
So
great.
All right. Well, that takes us back to recall. And Richard's not here, so I guess he loses.
Oh, I was just going to say, Martha also just sent an email to the full group that she's at the hospital with a kid with a suspected broken arm and wanted to know if we could pump the conversation to next week or the 14th so she could participate.
Representative Rankin?
Not on that issue. You want to?
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh.
I don't care. You want to answer that question first? Or?
Well, it's up to the commission. If you want to move that to the next agenda, we can.
And in her email, she said, and maybe the 14th, since the next week is the field trip.
The recall?
What's the issue?
I mean, most of it we're not.
What are we going to talk about? What's the issue?
Recall statute cleanup.
See, I think that's kind of part of something I wanted to talk about under sort of issue tracking anyway. So
okay.
Maybe I'll go ahead and do that. If you recall, last session, Representative Hollinghorst and I, in the true spirit of sincere bipartisanship, lodged a request with our legislative council to go through and look at all of the potential conflicts between that we need to address between, well, I guess within the statute, but also constitutional and statute. That's one of them, probably comes to the top of the list. We did put that request in, and we actually reserved a bill title to carry forward next year the outcome of it. We chose not to report today because our chief analyst on that had a long scheduled vacation and was not available this last week. We probably, I don't see a great urgency about it, so probably the 14th we put it on the calendar to report back what they come up with. So I think that's kind of going to develop a life of its own. You know, they'll come up with some analysis, we'll formulate a bill, certainly present that to this council, and I'm sure Representative Tyler will pick up the ball and help me run with that action. So that's where that is.
Representative? Yeah, thank you. This is Max Tyler. I think this falls in the category. This is a great thing to study with and make sure we understand where the actions need to be taken, and also that any legislator can bring a bill at any time. So I think if we work together on this, that would be great. Doesn't necessarily take an action or an action of the commission. It's not necessarily where we want to go with it, but, you know, with the advice and consent and moving forward, and, you know, we might have a good opportunity for a bipartisan bill.
We certainly can't promise that at this point. There's so many, you know, so many emotions and issues around this, but we're going to work to that end. So I'm sure you will. And I had one other issue tracking point, if we're through with that one.
Go ahead.
Well, on the issue tracking, probably the most important thing we're going to do going forward is track the implementation of software, you know, and that is the conversion from this Citrix-based system to a web-based system. There are a lot of elements and factors. The Kraft Report was pretty good at giving us a spreadsheet to check off on. But, you know, there are security issues and there are timing issues, particularly if we recall we had quite a bit of discussion about having this ready for the primary versus the final election. So tracking this, I think, is probably one of the most important things we're going to have to do, you know, I mean, to make sure that we can assure the public and legislature that we actually are going to be ready for those things. So I'd like to propose a subgroup, really, which we have that like in business practices. But Representative Tyler chairs the technology committee, which met this morning, I think is making great strides. And we've been given specific tasking by the Joint Budget Committee and the Capital Development Committee to take on similar issues where there is an implementation project that needs to go forward and they want some input from us. So I like to propose to the to this commission that we set up a working group, and I think Representative Tyler, if he would agree to be on it, we were both from the technology committee, but I would also include Trevor Timmons, Mr. Timmons from Secretary of State's office, and I would ask Jonathan Troll, who's the head of the cybersecurity team and over on the OIT side. And then we probably pick somebody from a large county and small county user representation from clerks. So starting with that, there might be other proposals. I don't think it needs to be any bigger than that. But that group is more capable of tracking, you know, those steps sort of week by week. I really don't think it's effective for us as a group to try to check off on, you know, software progress. So, you know, I'd like to get your thoughts and concurrence on setting up such a subgroup to monitor that. And we kind of treat that as a spinoff from this and report back kind of issue.
I second that motion.
Is that a subgroup of this or a subgroup of the technology?
Representative Tyler, what's your thought on that?
I think it's a subgroup of, would be a subgroup of this group, because this is the group that has the domain knowledge in that arena. Joint Technology Committee is just coming up to speed, And I think the domain knowledge in this case is, meaning how does election law work and what are the issues, is important. So I'd say this group, not the Joint Technology Committee.
Well, I personally think it's a good idea. I mean, when they come and present technology to this group, I understand a third of what, you know, is going on, but I don't really aspire to be a technology expert. And I do think in the implementation of this bill, it's probably the most important aspect to have the technology in place. And so I would support having that kind of a subgroup and maybe just receiving monthly reports or, you know, whatever that mechanism would be.
That's a great idea.
I certainly don't mean to shut out any of the other commissioners who might like to participate. Speak up if you want to be on.
I do not want to be on it, but I do think it's important that, like, business practices, it be a public body and that noticed, and anyone who wants to listen in is able to do so. So having the same rules as the other subgroup would be important.
This is Fran Long. I totally agree. After the last meeting, I thought maybe we had lost some of our direction. And I really think that this is what this commission is tasked with. It is using our collective resources as well as our individual resources and come to a conclusion that we can move forward with. And I like having subgroups that can report back to us. We can use such as the legislation, seeing what legislation we need to change. The OIT, I think, is perfect, and I wholeheartedly agree. Thank you.
Piling on, I agree with that. And one of the pieces that was really came out in the first assessment that we got was the importance of aligning on business practices and then creating the technology to that to the best of our ability, as, you know, some technology already exists as well. And so how do we make that transition? And it seems like it's quite that opportunity to see with that new platform, how can we make some of the things that have always been a little squeaky work even better in addition to the implementation of the bill. And at some point to have more discussion on how do we figure out what's the best way for that, those pieces to fit together. Sounds like this group would be monitoring and looking at the progress and how do we, I mean, I think it's the conversation of development period of what, how do we do the next round going forward as well. So this might be the group to kind of pull those pieces together. So, good.
Max Tyler again. Of course, you understand that the Business Practices Committee defining the requirements is going to be a requirement of the joint of the Technology Committee, understanding what they're supposed to be doing. I just really, that's a specious way of saying it, but it's really important to know what you're trying to accomplish in your business requirements before you can define the technology. And I think that's a good combination in that order.
So, and we can talk more about it. Just maybe we look at that group to see who from that group might be interested in being the representatives on that committee, one large and one small, or, I mean, or do you want, I'm happy also to take it back to the Clerks Association, is, or, you know, do you have preferences on how we look at who joins that?
I think there is some benefit in having a connection between business practices. If there's not someone on that group who wants to do it, maybe it's getting someone from the association or not, a clerk, to be part of the business practices group so that they can then be the liaison, but I like the idea of there being a connection and not having two totally separate bodies.
But, you know, and maybe it's not even a clerk. I mean, we've got an election official who's really knows the software and system in some of these areas.
So. A few of those I had in mind, actually. I was like, I should say that, wait, neither of the people I'm thinking are, both from large and small, none of them are clerks.
Okay. That's fine.
Yes. Indeed, I agree. Exactly. That's so funny. It's like, oh, right.
Rick Matsumoto, and I agree. I would just ask maybe or suggest, normally there would be a project manager assigned to this, either from the vendor or from the Secretary of State. And that person would be pretty key to, if not participating on this subgroup, then at least reporting to it.
Can that be the technology, Rick?
Well, I think Trevor would be on it. You're thinking the voter registration database?
I don't know if it's that specific, but if they're normally in a process where we selected a vendor, a PM would get assigned as a part of ensuring the success of that selection. So if it doesn't happen, then some projects aren't big enough to get to the level where it makes sense to assign a full-time PM, then at least somebody should play that role. And I guess I'm now volunteering by bringing it up. But I think this one was big enough. It should have gotten one.
All right, important.
A project manager?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that we have one specifically. I mean, have you talked to Trevor about that?
I have not.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody specifically assigned to do the project management.
Unless Trevor's doing it.
Unless Trevor's doing it.
Why don't you talk to Trevor?
I'll take that as a to-do then.
Yeah.
Figure out who that person is or not.
Right. I mean, he's probably doing it. It just, he doesn't have that formal title to it.
And I think he was included in that group anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I knew we brought some last time.
Okay, so the makeup would be about 6 or 7. Is that where we're at, Steve? Do you have it down?
There's two.
I didn't actually write it down. I was going to follow up with Representative Rankin to get that after the meeting.
Okay, that's fine. So
Trevor and security. Who is the security?
Jonathan.
Thanks. And we did land on at least a couple of people from the county level since they'll be the end users, right?
Two legislators, two clerks, or county reps.
Yes.
Trevor and Jonathan Troll. Is there another one? So 6, 7.
Okay. Are you going to be on it?
Well, I'll find out if there's a PM assigned first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put him on it. Just
go for it.
Put him on it.
Yeah, and Rick.
Put him on it.
Yeah. Right. That's what I heard.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's a great suggestion,
that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, move us forward on that issue.
That somebody's doing their homework.
All right. Do you have any other issue tracking, Representative Rankin?
I don't have any.
You don't have any other issue tracking you wanted to bring up? No other issue tracking you wanted to bring up?
I don't have any others.
Oh, okay. Anyone else?
This is Jesse. Really quickly, could we get that circulated again with the next emailing? Yeah,
yep.
That's the list. Thank you.
I think that's a great.
I just want for clarification, Commissioner Rankin, your legislative council reviewing the conflicts. You said we were going to have that report on the 14th, or did you say a specific date?
Let's see what they come up with, and then we'll put it on the agenda based on where we think it is. It may require another round, but I think since we haven't seen anything yet, I'm reluctant to pick a hard date for it.
Okay, thank you.
We'll target the 14th.
We all understand we're dealing with legislative staff.
Any other issues anyone wants to bring up? Anyone want to add, elect a new co-chair to the agenda?
Doesn't just come with the decision. Just kidding.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'd like to nominate Elena.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. You'll be chairing the next meeting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Love the crowd.
Well, she's probably been here more than anyone else. So she gets the perfect attendance award, if nothing else.
I'm going to miss part of next week's meeting. I'm doing a training on open meetings for the Nonprofit Association, but I'll be there.
Okay.
But I think it'll be pretty easy. Some of it will chair it.
Yeah, I think it'll just go. So.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll take care of it for you. Okay. No, I didn't mean to. If you really don't want to do it, that's okay. Okay.
Great.
Well, Richard. Yeah. We're about to end.
Now that was
boy, my
classic.
Timing is good.
I was just thinking, that's like,
what
the fuck?
Yeah.
Richard,
let him know not to walk over. I think that's the last item that we have on the agenda, except for setting the agenda and the date for the next meeting, and which is already set. and that's the tour of the Denver facility. We put a couple items on there, but we're not going to talk about the recalls there, right? You said we wouldn't have it yet. Is that right? Yeah. Representative?
About next week.
No,
I think we have the EAC.
We talked about recalls being rolled into the legislative review, so.
Right.
You know, do we want to keep it separate or still talk about it?
We could roll it in for the legislative review and take it up in a few weeks. Okay. All right. Then let's just put the EAC and the Denver tour on for next time.
Yes.
All right. Anything else for that meeting?
And then,
yeah, same 1 o'clock in Denver, though, at the Elections Center. Yeah. Bannock, right next to the court, Denver City County Courthouse. It's not in the web building. All right. And that's it. This meeting's adjourned.
We move to adjourn.
Thanks, Richard.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah, that's pretty cool.